May it please Almighty God to bless us indeed as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, and we'll read verse 46. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, and reading verse 46. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." This was a very true statement that these officers were able to speak. And of course, there had been many, many occasions in more or less the 3 years that Jesus had spoken, since he was 30 years of age and since he had been shown to be the Lord Jesus when he was baptized in Jordan by John the Baptist, and many great and glorious words he had spoken. There'd been many miracles also, of course, which had been done, but here we have a specific statement with regard to his words. Of course, the miracles helped to greatly strengthen and demonstrate that here was not just a mere man. Here was indeed someone far greater than mere man who could do miracles. No one previously had ever been like this man. And yet, the statement here is, never man spake like this man. And of course, the words that Jesus spoke were indeed very wonderful and indeed very glorious. And we have so many examples of it, and we can go back to what we often refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, which is on the chapters 5, 6 and 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. And as we come down to the end of those verses in the seventh chapter, we're told this, verse 28, verse 7. "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Well, that was a very true statement in those days, but it is still a very true statement today. And the words of Jesus do come from Jesus to our souls with divine authority. It's not just the word of men. Not just the word of a man. And so often, you know, people just treat the Bible as though it's just a book, just an historical book. People do not realize that this book, this blessed book, contains the words of Jesus. Indeed, we could say, of course, that the whole Bible are the words of Jesus. Which of course is also true, but specifically there are the sayings of Jesus when he was on the earth. And of course the many prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. And so we're told here that people were astonished at his doctrine. And I believe that's a very good evidence of God's goodness and mercy to us when we are given an understanding of the truth of God, the understanding of the doctrines of God contained in the Word of God, and how everything joins together, the great truths in the Bible linked together. There's no difficulty, there's nothing out of place. They're all part of the whole. We could say they're all part of the whole plan of salvation from beginning to end. And that displays the mercy and it displays the grace of Almighty God. And therefore today it will be an amazing blessing if you and I are able to trace out the validity, the truth of such a statement as this. Never man spake like this man. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's who this is referred to. Nobody has ever spoken like the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of that, perhaps in an overall sense, to realize that all the words of Jesus were pure, there was no guile in his words, they were all honest, they were all faithful, they were all the words of Almighty God, they were all true. And we today are wonderfully blessed with a record of many of those truths that the Lord Jesus spoke while he was upon the earth. And so in our little lives, and our life is very little and it's very insignificant, and yet what a mercy today if you and I can say, well, I understand what these officers spoke. I understand what they were really declaring. Never man spake like this man, because the word of God has spoken to me. It's spoken to my soul. It's spoken to my heart. And it's had a gracious and blessed effect upon me. Perhaps it's changed the course of my life. Perhaps it's changed the way that I thought. Perhaps it's showed to me the reality of the Word of God. And so to bless God today for such a great truth that these officers were able to say, never man spake like this. And of course, they were ridiculed. And no doubt, we will be ridiculed for believing the great word of God and the great truths of God, because as we read, they answered them, the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. And then it's very interesting that we have a little statement from Nicodemus. You may remember that Nicodemus, of course, was the man who came to Jesus by night, and he asked Jesus what he should do, and Jesus told him that he must be born again. And Nicodemus at that time, of course, couldn't really understand what Jesus was saying. He said, must a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? And as you may know, that Jesus didn't actually answer that directly, but he tells us, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. These were the words of Jesus, the true words of Jesus, directing us to the great importance of being born by the Spirit, not of the flesh. We're all born of the flesh. We're all been born naturally. But what a blessing if you and I have been born of the Spirit. And as he said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And the Lord then said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We realize it is the work of the Spirit speaking to our very heart. And my friends, all of us, let us be very clear. We need this. We need the evidence of the truth of these words as we read that never man spake like this man. And Jesus spoke, of course, and the words of Jesus recorded in the Word of God are very clear and they're very simple. Jesus never used complicated language. Sometimes people use complicated language. They want to be thought well of. They use long words. The Lord Jesus never used long words. He never used complicated language. He also always used simple statements. And what a blessing it was. And so he tells us this about the wind bloweth. We all know what the wind is. We all know how it blows. We all know we can't tell whence it comes and when it goes. And so the Lord draws the wonderful analogy and says, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? Yes, he couldn't understand. But you see, he did understand. Quite clearly understood. Not perhaps at this time, but as the words that Jesus had spoken sank down into his heart, into his mind, and they produced that concern. And he was granted that ability very clearly to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why we have this statement by Nicodemus. In these last verses, it wasn't any great statement, but it was an indication that he was supporting the Lord Jesus, and he wanted therefore there to be fairness. And therefore he said, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And again, you see, you know, he suffered, didn't he, mocking really, because they answered and said, art thou also Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Well, thankfully that didn't have any adverse effect upon Nicodemus, because as we read later on in the Word of God, when after the Lord was crucified and Joseph of Arimathea asked to take the body of Jesus and to put it in his sepulchre, we also read that Nicodemus was the one that came and helped Joseph of Arimathea. So we can really conclude then that at that time Nicodemus was a full believer, and he wasn't ashamed to be aligned with the one that wanted to help in the burial of the Lord Jesus. Well, what a mercy then it is to have a record, of course, of these things, because Nicodemus, he responded to Jesus and said, how can these things be? And Jesus said, art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things? Very, very, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, the Lord did speak very many wonderful and glorious heavenly things. And that surely is what you and I need to understand and need to be blessed with. The words that Jesus had spoken in this seventh chapter that we read together, we read in the last day, that great day of the feast, that was the eighth day. It was the last day, it was a very special day. And therefore it was that day that the Lord says, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, Let him come unto me and drink. And it is often think very important. So often we read in the Word of God the blessed words emanating from the Saviour, and he cried. He didn't whisper. He didn't mumble. He cried out in a loud voice so that people could very clearly understand what he was saying. These wonderful statements. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And this, of course, was not a natural thirst. It was a spiritual thirst. A thirst for spiritual knowledge. Indeed, in the earlier chapters, in John, on that fourth chapter, you may remember, it's the chapter that speaks about the woman of Samaria. It speaks about Jesus having to go through Samaria. There was no way of escape. He had to go through Samaria. He had to come and he had to sit on the well. And there came a woman of Samaria. And there Jesus came and spoke to her. And the woman said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God." Well, I wonder whether you and I know the gift of God. The greatest gift of God is this: the gift of eternal life. Oh, says the Lord, and to this woman, then said the woman, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now the truth is, you see, the words of Jesus, as we read here, "Never man spake like this." The words of Jesus direct us to the great need to have this wonderful gift of living water. And the Lord Jesus speaks about that in this chapter that we read, about this living water. We've spoken when the Lord called out in that last day, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the Lord goes on to say this, or at least this is what's recorded: "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." It is the blessed Word of God. It is the work of the Spirit. But this he spake of, the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. Well, the words of Jesus. Never man spake like him. How clearly it was that Jesus spoke of the need that you and I have of receiving the work of the Spirit into our hearts. And as we have this set before us in this picture of this woman of Samaria, when she asks the question, "How is it?" And Jesus said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." That's the Spirit's work in our soul, the evidence of the life of God in our soul. And we would have asked the Lord to do this for us, so that we have the evidence that we are those who are born again of the Spirit of God. And the life of God is in our soul. The woman said to him, Sir, there's nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and the cattle? And Jesus said, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But, there's some wonderful buts in the word of God, and here's a glorious but for you and me. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, the Lord directs her very clearly to the truth that she possessed, the need to have this water of life, because it was everlasting. And the woman said, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Well, she didn't quite know the secret yet, you see. But then the Lord proved to her that he was no ordinary person. Because he said very simply, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. Perhaps she thought that, well, she could hoodwink Jesus by making that statement, which at that very stage, of course, was true. Jesus said, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. You see, what the effect was, this showed to this woman that here was the Saviour, which was speaking words so glorious and so truth. Never man spoke like this man. This man was speaking to her and revealing to her the truth. However did this man know? Because he was very God. And so this woman said then, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What a blessing for you and me today. If Jesus comes and speaks to us a word which we have the evidence must emanate from the Lord himself. And if so, then we have the evidence, and this is to our soul, the word of God, not the word of man, the word of God. She said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What a wonderful blessing for you and me today if we have the evidence of the words of Jesus penetrating into our heart, doing that for us, speaking that to us, which no one else could really do. No one else could really say. And it may be that the words are spoken to us from the Bible. The words of Jesus may be the words recorded in the Bible, which may speak to our hearts and have a very blessed and a very real and a great effect, because the word of God does have an effect upon us. It's not something which just passes over us and we forget about it. When Jesus speaks, you won't forget about it, and you won't want to forget about it, because it's the evidence that Almighty God has taken notice of you. How very, very humbling, and therefore how true that these officers were able to give this statement. Yes, great statement it was, never man spake like this man. Well, are you also deceived? No, they weren't deceived. They were speaking the truth. And it's a good thing if you and I therefore stand by the truth. And don't expect to have just an easy run, if you like. Expect to be tempted. Expect the devil to come and question whether it is the word of God or not. The devil doesn't want you to believe. And yet the word of God encourages us to believe. And what a blessing it is if we do believe. Because that's what the Lord spoke here. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this is, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit, which comes upon us as we're blessed with that ability to believe the word of God. Well, the devil doesn't want you and me to do that, does he? He'll do everything he can to drown out the word of God, but he won't be able to. He'll do everything to make you doubt the word of God, but he won't be able to. Because of this, the word of God is with power. It's power from on high, beyond that of a mere man. And because it comes with power from on high, it has a gracious and a wonderful and a glorious effect. In a later chapter, in the 10th chapter, we have a very wonderful account. The Lord Jesus speaks about himself as the good shepherd and his people as the sheep. And he speaks very wonderfully about this in this 10th chapter. He tells them, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says again, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. It's wonderful, isn't it, to realize here we have the heavenly shepherd who knows all about us. And as we come further on down in this chapter, and in verse 27 we read, my sheep, hear my voice. Hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Words spoken here by these officers. Never man spake like this man. Quite clearly, the word of the Saviour to them was not the word of a mere man. This was the very words from the Saviour himself. And here are the words of the Saviour himself when he tells us, my sheep, hear my voice. And that's very clear, isn't it? I said earlier, the Lord's words are very, very simple. We all understand what sheep are, aren't we? And I guess some of you have seen a sheep and a shepherd, and it's very wonderful really how naturally sheep know the voice of their shepherd, the one that leads them, the one that feeds them, the one that directs them. They know his voice. And others, people can call out and shout and the sheep don't move. But when the shepherd comes and calls or whistles or whatever it is he does, well, the sheep know, and the sheep lift up their heads, and the sheep come and they follow the shepherd. Well, sheep are often very foolish creatures, but they do know the shepherd, and they do follow the shepherd. And we may feel to be very foolish and silly, which we often are. And yet what a great blessing it is if this word should be true of us. We hear the voice. The voice of Jesus. Indeed, as we read in the Song of Solomon, that beautiful statement, the voice of my beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved of the Church of God. He is their shepherd, and they do hear his voice, and they have heard his voice, and they will hear his voice. What is it? The evidence of eternal life. Without it, no evidence. My friends, don't think that the heavenly shepherd doesn't know you. Don't think the heavenly shepherd doesn't call you. Don't think the heavenly shepherd doesn't speak to you, because he does. And that's why you and I can praise him for his mercy, for his goodness, for his love. What love came from the Saviour to look upon us, unworthy sinners, great sinners, evil sinners. And yet we can bless God, the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. And here we have this statement then, my sheep hear my voice. Have I heard the voice of Jesus? The hymn writer says, I heard the voice of Jesus. Oh, how important it is, how necessary it is that we have heard the voice of Jesus. And there are so many encouraging words, perhaps none more than the words that Jesus spoke. And it's recorded in the end of the 11th chapter of Matthew. And they're glorious gospel words of invitation. And they're very simple. Come unto me. And it's addressed to a certain class of people. And that class of people are described. All you that labour and are heavy laden. All you who are labouring under the burden of sin. All labouring under the condemnation of the law of God, which says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's to those that this word is addressed. And it's a wonderful gospel invitation. Come unto me. Never man spake like this man. No one could speak like this man. No one had the ability to speak like this man. Because he who spoke was Almighty God. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And the wonderful promise, and I will give you rest. You may be very restless. Restless because of your sin. Not finding any rest. Like the troubled sea. And yet here is the promise. I will give you rest. To who? Those who come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, wonderful, isn't it? We read in the Revelation, come unto me, whosoever will. Take my yoke upon you. That means to be joined to the blessed Saviour. To share. Yes, share. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, we can't learn of the Saviour if we're walking a long way away, if we're far off. You won't even hear the words of Jesus. No. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then we have the wonderful description of the Almighty God and how very, very wonderful it is to think that here we have the Lord Jesus Christ describing himself as the Almighty God, the creator of all things, the judge of all things, and yet comes and speaks to those who come to him in this way. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Because he understands, therefore, all about us. He knows our fears. He knows our concerns. He knows what we worry about. He knows everything. He knows our innermost thoughts. He knows our smallest thoughts. Nothing is hidden from this God, the all-seeing eye of this great and almighty God. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He goes on to be so positive. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. The only place of rest is in Christ. There's no rest outside of Christ. You can hunt for it, you can try and find it in this and that. There's no rest outside of Christ. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then again he tells us, encouraging in case there's people think, oh, I can't do this, this is just too big, it's just too much of a burden. No, says the Lord, for my yoke is easy. It's easy. And my burden is light. And the blessing is this. It is that we are yoked to Christ. Yoked to this one who is speaking these great and glorious words. And this one who these officers declare, never man spake like this man. No one could speak like this man. Because he was and is very God. And you and I today can rely upon the words of the Saviour. You and I can rely upon the promises of the Saviour. Perhaps you'll have to say, begone unbelief. My Saviour is near. Yes, begone unbelief. That's the devil's work. No, never man spake like this man. The Pharisees, are you also deceived? And you can retaliate and say, no, I'm not deceived. Because the word came directly to me. The word of Almighty God came where I was. Just like the parable of that Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan, he came where that man was. He knew where he was. He saw him, he came to him. The Lord knows where we are. He comes to us where we are. He pours in oil and wine to heal us. Puts us on his own ass, carries us, brings us to the inn, pays the bill. He has paid the great price. The healing of our soul. The great price was not, of course, in monetary things. It was his death. It was his broken body. It was his shed blood, which was the price paid for our salvation. Now, the devil cannot gainsay that because it's recorded in the Word of God. And it's set down there very clearly for our encouragement, the truth of Almighty God. Bless God then for the Word of God. And today, bless God for the whole word of God. Bless God for the words of Jesus, so that you may be able to declare humbly and yet honestly, never man spake like this man. The words have entered into my soul, have entered into my heart, and I have a wonderful, indescribable evidence that this is the word of God to my soul. Never man spake like this man.